You follow the path for what seems like a fair amount of time. And eventually, the tracks bring you to a clearing in the forest. A clearing full of a number of wolves. Maybe 10, maybe even 20 wolves.
Yep.
And at the far end of this clearing, you can see, made out of twisted tree branches, what can only be described as a throne, upon which sits a very familiar figure and face to you. Dryl Bonebreaker, your husband.
Yes. Has he know? Has he acknowledged me? Noticed me?
Oops. Let me see. I nearly dropped my dice. Then that was.
I know.
At the moment, he hasn't noticed you.
Okay.
You're far enough. It's far deep enough into the trees to not have been seen at this present time.
Okay. This is what Saga's doing. She's kind of circling through the options in her head, trying to figure out what to do. And then she takes a couple of steps forward.
Into the clearing. He'll
hear her. Yeah, she's counting on he'll hear her in a bit.
Okay. So you step forward into the clearing. Many of the wolves, their ears kind of prick up, and they kind of look directly at you. And so does Dryl, sat on his throne, you know, 1 foot up on the seat, you know, like an utter arrogant, you know. I think you've described it once as dickhead pose. So he acknowledges you as well. And he just, not quietly, but calmly, says to you, "About time."
I think Saga's too beaten and bloodied and defeated to come back with a quip. But she is going to say, what is she going to say? She's going to say, "I think some of your pets nearly killed me."
He says, "Not as much as you might think, I'm afraid." And he kind of looks towards your wounds on your arm. And as you look down at them, you can actually see them starting to clear up a little. Because actually, you now have resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage. So actually, those hit points that you did take, so I believe you took a total of 11 damage. Oh, plus your temporary hit points. So that was 15 damage. You will have only taken half of that. And we round down in D&D, so that would be 7 points of damage total. So you should now actually be at 34 hit points.
Wow.
Rather than 37 when you take the temporary hit points into account.
So I'll put... Okay. She'll do the classic, like, look at the bite wound in disbelief.
He says...
pull her sleeve up and look at it.
I have given you a gift, my wife.
What's going to happen to me?
He says, you will become what you were always meant to be. Mine. There are none that will accept you now. Only me.
I never asked for this. It's not a gift.
He says, then you would have honored our marriage.
I thought you were dead. They told me you were dead.
Did you come looking for me?
I believe them. They gave me your necklace, your things. I thought you were dead.
He snarls at you and he says, and that was incredibly convenient for you, wasn't it?
I'm not gonna lie, I took my chance when I saw it.
So you didn't.
Can you blame me?
Honor the marriage. What did you hope to do when you got here?
You've already won.
A smirk forms on his face. He says, yes, I have. So go on. Ask your questions for what they're worth.
Why didn't you kill me?
He considers the question for a moment. And then he says, because I wanted to keep you where you belong. With me.
Trapped.
You're here because you want to be, aren't you? I didn't force you here. You were getting quite cozy with that assassin, and yet you were happy to leave him behind to come here. I wouldn't call that being trapped. You came here willingly. Don't put that on me.
I didn't want to risk killing my friends. But you're right, I'm here now. Willingly.
Why so noble all of a sudden? You were not willing to risk your friends, and yet you're willing to leave me to die.
Because I honestly thought you were dead. I didn't think I'd have to go looking for a corpse. No one in the tribe did. We held a funeral.
Tell me, if I'm really to believe that, at what point did you begin believing in Ridral, who you hated so much?
I can understand why you wouldn't come back. That's why. Why give him power?
I didn't. He had hoped to usurp me, and it's exactly what he managed to do.
What happened?
We were on hunting mission. A number of us were ambushed by others of my kind. And I experienced the same sorts of wounds you experience now. Traditionally, those wounds would not have mattered to the tribe. In fact, they would have been celebrated, but rather than embracing my new life, Ridgewell took his opportunity to essentially exile me. He was never supposed to tell you I was dead. But there are those in the tribe who denounced the traditions of the lycanthropic curse amongst our people many centuries ago. And I'm afraid his family and he are some of the most vehement haters of ours. He was supposed to send for you so that we could ritualistically turn you as well. But I didn't know of his allegiance.
Oh, you probably know he's dead now.
By your hand, I understand it.
Yes.
And your assassin.
Yes, they saved my life.
So, have you come here to try and kill me now?
I don't think I can.
No. You can't. So why are you here then? You wouldn't have left him behind just for questions. Surely.
For a bargain.
He raises one eyebrow at you. He says, go on.
You want me to say, right?
Yes.
I'll say, if you spare them.
You know I can't do that. Your assassin man needs to die.
I wouldn't be here without him. He saved my life. Several times. Does that not mean anything?
He chuckles to himself and he says, "Sir, I have saved your life on multiple occasions too, you know."
And he also destroyed it. If you spare them, you'll never have to worry about me leaving. If you kill them, you'll be looking over your shoulder. Because the next opportunity I have, I will run. Your choice.
He says, with a smile on his face, "And where exactly will you run to? When the hunger takes over, when your instincts become more than you can control, when all you crave is the taste of human flesh, where will you run?"
Do you want me to beg? I will. She takes a couple of steps closer.
Mm-hmm. He says, "You know that the disrespect that he has shown me cannot go unpunished. For that would make me so little of a leader.
How can he disrespect you if he doesn't even know you were alive?"
He looks to the wolves around you, who have been slowly circling.
Yeah.
Around, and he said, "They know, I know, and most importantly, you know." You will never see him again. So what does it matter to you if he lives?
I don't want their blood on my hands. Just that. She comes closer.
How close?
How far was there to traverse?
I would say about 30 feet to begin with.
Yeah. 30 feet.
To getting right up close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Obviously going slowly, but yeah.
Of course.
Right up close.
And he says, "Either I kill him, or you do it."
Please. Whatever happened, happened when I thought you were dead. Punish me for my stupidity, not them.
He looks at you
mm-hmm.
with a look of judgment. And he says, "You used to be stronger than this. You have let that boy diminish you. Mm-hmm. Were it not for the gift I have now given you, you would be but a shadow of your former self. So, again, either I kill him, or you kill him.
If you kill him, I will resist you until the day I die. Your choice. And then she kisses him.
Give me a persuasion check.
Which dice?
With advantage.
Okay. Oh, which dice? Oh, no. No, 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 no! Persuasion. 6.
Yeesh.
Yep.
He does kiss you back.
Hmm.
And he, you can see he's trying to really analyze you.
Hmm.
And he says, I thought you hated me. Passionately.
I did once.
He says, and now right? All of a sudden when I threaten the life of a friend and something more, suddenly you are overcome with love for me. Affection. Attraction.
You made me who I am. I'm aware of that. I had to be hard to deal with everyone else in the tribe, you know that. Because they would have taken their chances just like Ridral did. As soon as you were gone.
And what did you do in my name, exactly?
To him.
To anyone.
What does he mean by that? This is me as the player going, what the fuck does that mean?
Do you want to give me an insight check?
Yes, because I'm here going, what the fuck?
Yeah, give me an insight check.
Oh, come on, dice. What the fuck does that mean? Cryptic motherfucker. 11?
Knowing him as well as you do,
mm-hmm.
You suspect he means in terms of vengeance and or honor.
Honor, okay. Well, with Ridral, I told them the truth. That you were always twice the man he was. And even though he was temporarily chief, he was nothing compared to you.
You see him resist a smirk. And he says, so why shouldn't I kill him?
As a gift to me. I have no reason.
Can you give me...
I'm just asking as your wife.
Can you give me another persuasion check, please?
I can't fuck this one up too. Straight persuasion?
I'm afraid so, yes.
Oh. 17.
Can I also get a perception check from you, please?
Okay. What's my... That's a 6, so...
Okay.
Oh, God, I missed a vital clue!
Well, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not overly so. Because as you watch... Dryl trying to process what you've just asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
A wolf comes bounding through the trees behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And shifts with bones cracking back into human form. And you see a young woman. Not mm-hmm. much younger than yourself, but dressed in the similar sort of garb of the tribes. And she immediately kneels before Dryl. And he just simply gestures for her to stand. And she says, they have... gone into the mines. She looks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get an insight check from you, please?
Yes. Three. No idea.
Yeah, you're not entirely sure how to take...
Yeah.
The way she looks at you.
Yeah.
But she does glance at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dryl says, well then, this assassin of yours, his fate will be decided not by my hand or even my will. If he's gone into that mine... he's as good as dead already.
Thank you. And she takes his hand.
He says, I've done nothing. What are you thanking me for?
You said you'd let the mine choose his fate.
His eyes narrow. And, he says, believe me, you'd much rather he died by my hand than that mine.
What do you know about the mine?
He says, The legend goes that a great battle was fought in that mine when the orcs tried to sack it. But the mine inhabited not just dwarves, gnomes, and men, but some of the most powerful wizards of the realm. They put in place defenses intended to last far beyond a mere century. Dark magic has been used to defend that place. Servants of darkness now roam its tunnels. If he is killed within there, you will find no trace of him. Or your companions. Dark horrors roam the tunnels and defend the forge. Anyone who has entered that mine has no doubt faced a fate worse than death before. Killing from me would be merciful at this point.
My only wish is that you do not hunt them down if they go to the mine. I can't stop them. But at least they won't die because of me.
He thinks for a moment, and then he says, "Your assassin deserves to die. But your dwarf friend, you would not be here without him. If of that I'm certain. He looks over to the young woman. She kind of looks curiously back at him. Can I get an insight check from you, please?
Wisdom is in my dumpster. Oh, 18. Okay. Oh, 18.
She is looking quite sorrowful at Dryl.
Oh.
Confused by him. And he too is looking conflicted and sorrowful.
Okay. She looks between the two men and goes, "And who are you?" she asks. The woman.
She says, "I am no one. Just a humble servant.
She turns to Dryal and goes, "Well, it seems like you haven't been that noble.
He thinks for a moment. And then he says, "Do you wish to be here?"
That depends.
On?
What you're going to do.
He says,
"You have a lot of words for someone who doesn't follow them themselves. Let's talk about honor. Honoring you. I was alive the entire time, and you haven't been honoring me, have you?"
He says, "You have no hope of controlling what I have given you without me." He says, "If you do not return, your friends may die at your own hand. But I need you to be here because you want to be here." Not to protect him from me. If that loyalty is the only thing keeping you here, and then I fear that eventually my vengeance may find its way to you. So, perhaps I am willing to give you one last taste of freedom. Go to the mine, save your friend, and if the assassin survives, bring him to me.
And you'll do what?
We will decide your future together.
I'm not bringing him here for you to go. I'm willing to brush this, she indicates between them, under the carpet, and I'll be your wife. Not under duress this time.
And what of your friends?
As long as they're alive, I'll let them lead their life. Show me you're going to be an honorable husband as well. Because I won't stand for this. Leave them alone and we'll start with a clean slate.
He looks at you and he nods. And he says, "Very well then. Let the mind take them."
What do you mean?
You asked me to leave them alone, and we would have a clean slate. They're in the mine.
We still have this to deal with.
He says, what exactly are you referring to?
You know exactly what I'm referring to.
No, I'm afraid I don't, actually.
Your little friend. Did you miss me that much while you were gone? It means I mean nothing to you either. What am I? A toy?
I'm not sure I understand. A minute ago you were telling me to leave your friends alone and we'd have a clean slate, and now it seems that's not the case.
That is the case. Let me go. And save them, and I'll come back. Clean slate.
I see. So you intend to not come back with the assassin? Is that right?
Yes, I'll come back alone.
He thinks for a moment. Give me a persuasion check.
I didn't build a charisma-based character.
With advantage. With advantage. With advantage.
Okay. Oh, which one? That one. Oh, persuasion. Oh, yeah. 18.
He kind of winces. Almost. He's furious, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, fine, go save them, but you will return to me immediately after they are free of the mine, if they are free of the mine, and if you survive. And he says, and be warned, if I should ever cross paths with him again, I will not hesitate to destroy him where he stands. But I will not hunt for him, provided he doesn't hunt for me or for you.
Understood.
Then go and save your assassin.
Thank you. And then as a parting shot, she's like, make sure she's not here when I come back.
And she kind of throws a barb your way. Saying, if you come back. And I think that is where we shall end. So that's it for another exciting episode of Bardic Quest. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Before we go, I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you to a couple of folks. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to James Webster for providing us with and allowing us to use this beautiful animated artwork that features throughout the show. If you are a fan of his work and want to show your support to him, then head on over to patreon.com/JamesRPGArt, where you can become a patron of his. But also I'd like to say a big thank you to our friends over at Sirenscape for allowing us to use their wonderful ambience, music and sound effects. So if you'd like to introduce those sounds to your table, head on over to sirenscape.com to check out their amazing work.
So that's it from us this week, and we will catch you next time.